it's really hard to stereotype me because people just think I'm the white, like just white American. So they wouldn't know that I'm Bosnian. They couldn't just stereotype me, oh, Bosnians are like this. However, the one thing unique that I could say from experience is because of that, I do hear stereotypes of other cultures and racism. For example, I lived in Alabama for 2 years and I constantly got people would constantly tell me what's on their mind. Like, oh, that guy, he's black and he's in medical school. He probably just got in because he's black. And I would stare at them like, what are you talking about? You're a grown physician speaking like this, you know? And for some reason, he would think that I was okay with that rhetoric. And then at other times, I would hear, oh, Muslims, we should just blow them all and turn them into dust. Not knowing that I'm Muslim, but they wouldn't expect that because I don't wear the scarf and I'm white and my name's Elvira, according to them. So I definitely do hear other things. And if I could say there's a stereotype about my people, is that if they are Muslim and they hear someone's Bosnian, I do often hear, oh, but you're not like them, quotation marks. Like them as in Middle Easterners or Arabs, I guess that's what they're referring to. Thinking like, oh, you're a non-practicing Muslim, which is completely not true. But that's probably my experience with stereotypes, is that I often get to hear it about other cultures a lot more than maybe a person from that culture, because people don't want to tell, you know, someone that's brown something about brown people in their face, but they may to someone who is white and they think agrees with them. So as far as my experience, I don't have anything directly towards Bosnians because it's hard for them to figure that out just by looking at me. But yes, definitely heard it about other groups.
Welcome to First Gens. This is a podcast about first generation Americans and filling in the blanks beside the hyphen. I am Preen.
And I'm Sky.
Yes, she is. And we're going to talk about something that happens every day in different ways. We're going to talk about stereotypes.
Do you know it? Remember that? That's from like,
oh my god.
Do you know that
song? That's so much. You're so extra.
Like, it's my favorite part of that song, honestly. Like, I don't even really enjoy that song. Like, oh, is it like in Vogue or something?
Oh my god.
But that's like the best part. Anyway.
Are you the only person? You're like the only person I know that like does that. Like no one else even gets to that part of that song. It's just you.
Well, sweetheart, it's the beginning of the song. What do you mean? Like it literally is how the song starts.
Oh my god.
It's like I just picture this old black woman with these like glasses and like
your stereotype.
Like, dairy. Like I'm just saying, because it reminds me of like the grandma in like the beginning of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, just like waving her finger at Will Smith's character.
Oh yes. Okay. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can totally see that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But just for our listeners, Sky sounds the way she sounds. Well, Sky is Sky. She's crazy. That's why she sounds really how she sounds. But she can't be with me right now in Charlotte in our beautiful studio in
my
the beautiful Huga co-working space. So we're actually going to do this special short episode from afar, but still connected.
I miss her so much, y'all.
It's your immune system. Her immune system won't let her be great and, like, actually be a functioning human being. But it's fine.
I've been sick for over a week now, so that's cool.
That's cool. So back to stereotypes. Sky kind of gave her, you know, I guess, take on that. but Merriam-Webster defines stereotype as a widely held but fixed and oversimplified image or idea of a particular type of person or thing. Typically, a stereotype is a wide generalization that, you know, we place on a group of people, again, people, places, things, nouns.
I mean, so that's great for Merriam-Webster or whatever, but I liked mine a little bit better, but continue.
I don't know if you really defined it, but what you can do is tell me, like, where do you think people get stereotypes from?
Well, kind of like the song says, one of the places that people get stereotypes from is the media. Through music, movies, television, podcasts, hello. also, stereotypes I know come up a lot from family and friends.
Yep.
We'll hear from us and our roundtable folks. I know my mother is chock full of stereotypes that she loves to spouse to whomever listens. And then also, like, personal experiences.
And yeah, you literally, like, nailed that on the head, because that's exactly, like, where, you know, I think too, like, people get the majority of their stereotypes from. And we just, the biggest stereotype that we have to debunk right now, that cannot continue any longer for the rest of time, because every time this happens, I literally have heart palpitations. I think that's the right word. Africa's not a country. Africa is a continent. I'll say it again. Africa is not a country. Africa is a continent. It is composed of 54. It's composed of 54 countries, over 2,000 languages. Okay?
Raven Simone is from all the continents in Africa and all the continents in Europe.
Listen, Raven Simone, not today. Not today, Raven. You're not going to have a freaking premonition and discard that this continent. I'm going on an Africa trip. No, you don't say, like, you're just going. I'm going on a North American trip. No, you don't say you're going to a North American trip, because who's just talking about Canada included? No, you're going most likely to a state in America, which is in North America. Okay? Like, you say Spain, people say Italy, people say France, people say all of these different countries within Europe and within Asia, but for some reason, everyone wants to just say that Africa is a country, and every time that happens, like, we're all the same. We're not. We all are completely different. Even within our regions, we're completely different. So please, please, the next time you ever hear anyone call Africa a country, send them this episode and tell them to come find me.
Oh, dang, that was intense.
I just can't.
And I will say that actually touches on a point that of places that other people may get their stereotypes from is the school system and our educational system.
Very
we do not
true.
Learn about Africa as a continent. And so therefore, like, we call it, a lot of folks call it, quote unquote, the dark continent. And as we know, everything dark is bad. You know, this kingdom is yours, everywhere where the light touches, but don't go to the dark place. Yes, I quoted the line, thank you.
I mean, Mufasa.
Well, but seriously, we learn about European history. We learn about David. We learn about Prague. We learn about Europe. We learn about Germany. We learn about Russia.
Yep.
Like, we learn about Czechoslovakia and, like, these tiny-ass countries that, like, no one ever really thinks about otherwise.
Yep.
But we never learn about these giant populous nations in the continent of Africa, because, you know, it's the dark continent. We don't need to talk about it. They're not, quote-unquote, world powers. And so that's another way that folks are getting their stereotypes through our educational system, unfortunately.
Exactly. And so that's why we really need for our teachers and for our parents and for just everyone, the media as well, you know, to just take responsibility and to clarify and specify. Something really interesting that, you know, someone that I really appreciate, Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie. I really hope I said her name correctly. My Nigerian sister. but, you know, she actually had a TED Talk, which was about stereotypes. And in that TED Talk, she said the danger of the single story. And a quote that she mentioned was, the problem with stereotypes is not that they're untrue, but that they're incomplete. So oftentimes with a lot of generalizations that we have about different people or about different places, those things might apply to one person, but just remember that that does not apply to all.
Yes, I think that's really important and something I want to acknowledge before moving on about Chimamanda. I do really love her TED Talk on stereotypes. But I also may know that she has semi-recently said some controversial and problematic things about folks who identify as trans, particularly trans women. And so I just want to acknowledge that, and we see her, we see that. But I also think it's important to, right, I do also think it's important to, you know, recognize the goodness in everybody and also call out the problematic things in everybody as well.
So
I didn't want her name to go, exactly, I just didn't want her name to go mentioned without that kind of caveat. But going back to the whole thing about stereotypes being untrue, or not that they're not untrue, but incomplete, something that I know growing up, my mother was one who really loved to talk about different cultures, particularly Americans. And a lot of the time, you know, like Chimamanda said, it wasn't the fact that what my mom was saying was untrue. You know, she would say things about, like, Americans like loving McDonald's or fast food or, you know, having looser family structures than Liberians do, you know, so on and so forth. And it wasn't that those things were untrue. It was the fact that she said them in a derisive way. And, you know, also, you know, yes, just because the, you know, the family structure in America is looser than Liberians, it doesn't mean that the family is fundamentally, you know, broken here in America, as she would imply. So I just think that it's one of those things where I know there's so many things that I've had to unlearn from my mother, bless her heart, and from the media and from elsewhere about, you know, different folks, particularly, though, Americans.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so funny because our mothers are very similar. and, you know, my mother also, she always just said, you know, it was always like them and us. So, oh, that American boy did this, that, and the other. Like, she didn't necessarily have as many stereotypes about specific races, but it was always like that American kid or like that American whatever. So it was like, oh no, like you're not going to a sleepover like with those American kids, like, or like, do you know what those American kids are doing after 10 o'clock? You know, like, it was that kind of thing. So it was always that kind of stereotype. But what I've seen as my mother has gotten older and reality TV becomes more prevalent, like, I don't know if it's becoming helpful, but I do actually think it's becoming a little bit more helpful. Like, she has a much more broader sense of different people, like, within this country. And I do accredit that a sense to, like, her, like, TV watching going up as well. Yeah, I've just seen, like, a complete, like, shift in a sense. She's a little bit more knowledgeable and whatnot, so it's interesting.
See, you know, the Kardashians are making a difference.
Stop,
one African
at a time. Stereotypes happen, but at the end of the day, like, proving negative stereotypes wrong, you know, about yourself or about a group of people that you may or may not be a part of is very valuable to our society in order for us to progress. And to just know that you cannot just place one label on a group of people, you know, moving forward. Try to expand your mind. Oh, man, that was a perfect time for an In Vogue, like, reference. Free your mind. Did you see what I did there, Scott?
All right, let's reverse.
You did. Okay. You did. Yes, yes. So, yeah, pretty awesome.
I do think it's interesting, though, that your mom's mind has been freed through the process of watching reality TV, in a sense, since there's so many stereotypes on there.
Yes.
So it does go to show that, you know, sometimes people can connect with stereotypes and it can help them begin to expand their minds, you know? Not everything is all bad, I guess.
Not everyone.
I guess.
For those individuals who aren't around Latinos, who aren't necessarily familiar with what's going on, and how kind of geographically everything is split up. My mom's Cuban, my dad's from El Salvador. those aren't cities in Mexico. Cuba's in the Caribbean. El Salvador's in Central America. And my wife's from Argentina, which is in South America. So we're not all Mexican. We don't all love spicy food, even though I kind of take a step back to that because I do love spicy food. But I think those are some of the things that kind of stick out that I'd like to let people know. And just because I consider myself Latino or Hispanic doesn't mean that I love this country any less. And I think that's another point, again, taking into account and under consideration the current political views out there. Just because my parents weren't born here doesn't make me any less American. Just because my grandparents weren't born here doesn't mean that there were blood, sweat, and tears given for this country in the process.
I actually went to college with a Southern accent. So I was this brown girl going to California, and people were so confused. And they're like, oh, wow, so do you have a Confederate flag that you fly over? And just, do you eat comfort food every day? And it was an odd, I think, adjustment in my mind, because I felt like I was representing a region just because I had the accent at the time to depict that. But overall, I would say, really coming from Hawaii to South Carolina, those were most comical. And now that I've moved back all of a couple months ago, there are a few older residents in my new neighborhood that have asked me the same questions, and I have to just catch myself from laughing because I haven't heard it in so many years. They'll ask, you know, your English is so good, when did you learn how to speak this? Or, oh, Hawaii, like, I'm sure they have, like, worse hurricanes than we have here. Or just all of these different things about canoes and doing hula dancing. And it's like, we've definitely advanced since that time. But it's just that overgeneralization, I think, more of states and regions, and that I look different and they can't quite pinpoint exactly what I am, just sparks that conversation.
Oh, you're Nigerian, you're a 419er, you're a you're a scammer. You're good with computers, you're a scammer. That's crazy. Another one I used to get because I'm Muslim is, oh, you only bathe once a week. Somebody told me that Muslims always smell bad and they only bathe once a week on Fridays, which is our day of, it's similar to our day of Sabbath, essentially.
I was on the campus of Virginia Tech, and, like, I mean, I was drunk. But I wasn't, like, that drunk, and I was one of my friends was extremely drunk, and he was, like, he needed to be walked home. So I was walking him home. He didn't make it. He kept on throwing up, so somebody called an ambulance. The cop grabbed my wallet from me, went through it, found my cousin's ID because I was having a fake ID, and then decided to arrest me for it. So it was, that was pretty racist. And honestly, the only times I ever see stereotypes come out and play through are honestly only in movies and news media. In real life, I can't think of a single situation where stereotyping has been something that's held me back from something or anything. Just hasn't existed for me anyway.
For me, stereotypes are definitely real. I think it's crazy because my dad isn't the type to say stereotypes, but Lord, my mom, she will just throw them out there. And I think once she hit 55, she's at this mark where she thinks she can get away and say anything. And so she will put a label on some people. And growing up, I remember having a hard time. Actually, it's funny. It takes me back to my camp days. Because I struggled with that, you know. Well, my mom told me this and this about this type of person. So when I'm going into a relationship with this person or just building up any kind of friendship, I should be careful of them. Sierra Leoneans in general have stereotypes about themselves, about each other, about different tribes. I'm from the Mende tribe. And so the Mende tribe, you know, the women are very headstrong, aggressive. Most times they're the matriarchs, but the men are very, they love women. And, you know, it's funny because some of these stereotypes are kind of true. You know, it's
funny. For me, I feel like stereotypes are derived from somewhere. Somebody had to do this one thing. Now, whether or not you take that stereotype and apply it to the whole group, I think that's wrong. I dated a guy who was from a different tribe from me. I dated three guys who were different tribes from me. One was Creole, one was Timni, and the other one was, he was So-So, I think, and every time I would introduce them, you know, their breakdown of their name, like, where are they coming from? So I'd be like, oh, this is this person. And my mom would be like, oh, he likes money and women. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know? And my grandma, I will never forget one thing my grandma had told me, my great aunt, actually. She came from London, and she was just like, oh, so you like a Timini man? Well, a Timini man will take all your money because they have no money. And I was like, well, I mean, he got a few dollars. And then going on into the relationship, this dude had no money. And I was like, oh, my gosh, my grandma said that you would have no money, you know? So I dealt, you know, I had such a strong back and forth with stereotypes, and you want to remove yourself from that. You don't want to give anybody labels at all. But I struggled so much with dating, you know, Sierra Leoneans. When I dated my Mexican ex-boyfriend, I will never forget my mom was like, oh, he's a drug dealer. And I will never forget one day I did see, and, you know, they had restaurants, and I did see a large amount of money just come out of nowhere. Like, we were in the living room, and his dad walked in with, like, an oil canister and was pulling money out, and I was like, okay, you know, I deal with that every day. I'm talking with my cousins, you know, talking with other, like, family members who are from a different culture. Some of my side of the family is Liberian. Some of my side of the family, we have some Nigerians, you know. We have some Irish people in our family, and my mom, to this day, she's like, Irish people love potatoes. I'm going to make all these potato dishes. And I'm like, why does she do that? Why does this happen? And my sister's like, that's your mama. I'm like, nah. But I deal with them every day. And I just, you know, I try to be the bigger person and not take a stereotype and put it on somebody, because that's wrong. So that is a struggle. Dealing with my family, where I was raised, stereotypes are the norm.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes. We can also be found on SoundCloud and wherever else you get your podcast. Make sure to leave a review or comment on social media. Just check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at FirstGens. That's #1, STGENS. Plus, get tons of bonus content on our website. That's firstgenspodcast.com. I'm talking pictures, photos, features, articles, all that great stuff. First Gens was created by Perrine DeShield. The show is co-hosted by Perrine and Sky Wilson. Trey Pierce, aka Self, is our audio engineer. Nick Stubblefield is our official composer and created the lovely music you heard throughout this episode. Special thanks to all of our roundtable guests for doing an amazing, flawless job and sharing their short stories, Betty, Alvita, Chelsea, and Sean. You also heard a few familiar voices on this episode from this season, Rufai and Martin. Thank you so much. First Gens is a proud member of Huga, an amazing co-working space based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you so much for all of your love and support.